Oh, what's up? Warby Parker is. Big thanks to Warby Parker for sponsoring today's episode of How Did This Get Made? Warby Parker is the new way to get boutique quality, classically crafted eyewear at a revolutionary price point. You heard me right, fools. You want some glasses? Go to Warby Parker. I can't stress this enough. Warby Parker has such a great deal and incredible service. If you order your glasses online today, you can get a little gift with us, okay? So when you go to warbyparker.com, use the promo code HOW, that's H-O-W, at the checkout, and you will receive a free expedited 3-day shipping. That's our gift to you. Bam, put some glasses on. Look good. I respect you. Now, because you're wearing glasses. So go to warbyparker.com, promo code HOW, as in, how have you not signed up yet for Warby Parker? Do it. Hey, LA, we've added a second show to our live How Did This Get Made at Largo. That's right, two shows now. The first one sold out. The second one is available. We're doing two different movies, two different guests. Come once, come twice. Bring a friend. We are very excited to have these special holiday shows in LA on December 13th. Get tickets at largola.com, and then also come out on December 12th and see me and Rhett Miller do our holiday show. You remember Rhett from Cobra? It's going to be a really fun night. All the money for that show goes to charity. Me and Rhett Miller, the Paul Scheer, Rhett Miller holiday extravaganza. I've been doing it for 5 years. So December 12th and 13th, if you're in LA, fucking hang with me. Give money to charity. Have a good time. This movie stars Cindy Crawford. So you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
What's happening, Paul?
And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm doing great, thanks.
The movie we're going to be doing today is Fair Game, and we have a very special guest joining us from Modern Family. Please welcome Danny Zucker. Welcome, Danny.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here, Danny Zucker.
Wow, I really appreciate that, Jason.
Zucker and Zucas.
Yeah.
Here's
Zooks and Zooks.
Zooks and Zooks.
Okay, guys, I have to say, and I said this before we started rolling, this might be my favorite How Did This Get Made movie ever
it's
now.
It's pretty spectacular.
It's wonderful.
I've never seen anything like it. I honestly haven't.
I mean, there's so many things going on in this movie at all times. And I rewound this movie multiple times to be like, what is happening?
I did too, and yeah. To no avail.
To no avail.
Every time I did it, I was like, nope, that didn't help me at all.
Yeah.
I found it exciting, though, to see where Cindy Crawford started off as an actress before she went on to do all the great work she went on to.
Oh, yeah.
It was sort of nice to see them.
Sure.
In those early, you know.
Well, it was an early role for her and Salma Hayek, and it's nice to see how both of them have grown.
As performers, it was...
I immediately started Googling Cindy Crawford, where her acting went to after this, because
didn't go far.
Wizards of Waverly Place. She's been on that as B.B. Rockford, and she was but that was
A courageous performance.
That was a very solid performance.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, it is a mentally challenged character.
This is a huge role to give to Cindy Crawford.
Just a model at the time. Like, yeah. Well, I'm assuming this was like after the Coke ad. You know, like,
it
was, like, so ubiquitous and made her,
and
like,
here's
the
what
equivalent
I wonder,
of...
Like, for whatever reason, I have this image burned in my head of reading 16 magazine and finding out that Cindy Crawford was the valedictorian of her high school class and always
knowing...
Wait,
there was a 16 magazine?
16 or 17 or 16B. I don't know.
16 beat.
16 bop. I don't know. What
Tiger,
those?
Tiger teen.
But I always remember
is 16 magazine
that.
For kids who are too young to read 17?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
For the kids that are a year younger.
They're getting ready for 17. They're not out of teen bop, but they're
totally
all up at 17.
Completely different content.
You don't have to be a teenager to enjoy it.
No.
The articles are
I still have a subscription to Sassy.
Sassy.
So,
and Jane.
I remember thinking to myself, Cindy Crawford's really smart. And I think she even went on to an Ivy League college. Maybe I'm wrong about
that.
Wait,
that's Brooke Shields, isn't it?
No. Also, Cindy Crawford was the valedictorian of her high school class. And so what I imagine is that she must be very bright in person.
Mm.
brighter than what? Well, you really okay. What, yes. No, okay. But this is why I think this okay. happened, because I think she must be brighter than one would expect from a model, and so
oh,
probably.
Oh man, okay. You're going to war with models?
No, I'm not.
Oh, wow. June to models. You're dumb.
Not at all, but I think there is an expectation.
Okay, wait, June. Here you go. Cindy Crawford graduated as a valedictorian in 1984. She won an academic scholarship to study chemical engineering at Northwestern University, which she attended for one quarter. She dropped out to pursue a full-time modeling career.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying
amazing.
Is,
yeah, that's pretty. Yeah. I mean, yes. Chemical engineering, no joke. She
that's
got
no
in.
North, joke.
Yeah, Northwestern, not bad.
And so I think probably some producer or someone met her and was like, oh, she's actually very bright. And especially for a man, she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And she can hold a conversation. And this role is for a very intelligent woman. It probably all made sense. What they forgot to ask is, like, can she act?
See, I love that version of things. I love positing that as what has perhaps happened. I think it went more like this. Some guy was like, hey, get everybody into my office. Okay. So I catch my son jerking it this afternoon to this magazine or this broad. I looked it up. This broad's pretty hot. Turns out all the kids are jerking it to this broad. Put this broad in one of our movies.
That's exactly what I agree. Like, I feel like if someone was spinning through Sports Illustrated going, model, model. I'm surprised that, Elle McPherson had her turn as like stars of a
film.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but she really took this one.
But it was this was an era also, like the era of the supermodel was, like it didn't exist before and it doesn't really exist now. This was a period where everybody seemed to know the models by name. You know, like why on earth did I as a teenager know who Linda Evangelista was?
Oh my
you know
God.
What I mean? Like there's no reason. And much as I wouldn't now know who was the face, I don't know the current models.
Like Kate Upton is about the only one you know.
I guess
back in the day, like Sports Illustrated.
Oh, you knew
was
Helena
gateway.
Christensen. I mean, and Nikki, what's her name? They were all, they girls that you followed. You
I
know?
Seem to remember. I'm not even making a joke that there were trading cards. There were trading cards.
Sports Illustrated? Yeah, I could see that.
They actually did something like that.
You're thinking of Garbage Pail Kids.
Which I also jerked off to.
Oh, Petey Poopoo. Oh, Petey Poopoo, you dirty
Cindy.
Boy.
Oh, Cindy Clawford. She has a big claw frame. But just to give you a little sample of, it's in this movie, Cindy Crawford plays a civil lawyer.
Oh, we haven't even gotten into it.
Yes. But just here, why don't you take a listen to Cindy Crawford talking law. Here we go.
Listen, Hollenbeck. The law of the sea is simple and federal. I don't care if you hit the registry of this vessel in Panama or Podunk. I want the title signed over to my client in 48 hours. Or you're going to end up in a federal prison so deep that by the time you get out, you're going to need a walker to chase ambulances.
Oh. So weird, because watching it, you really
we don't
do
need
remember,
another take. We got it.
Yeah, we got it.
No, we got it.
Moving on. You really do get gate. Like, oh wow, acting is hard. You know what I mean? Like, acting is hard.
Well, because
do.
All
not
she does through the whole
it.
Movie is ba 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 ba. That's what happened.
I compared this movie is Gravity on Earth, because basically all our character is doing is going from one set piece to the other, just getting hurt and hurtled around. Literally hurtled around.
My favorite thing in the movie when I watched it the second time was in the titles, it says, based on a novel.
Yes.
Oh, really?
By Pushkin.
Because you look at that piece, because that acting is horrible, but it's pretty equal to the dialogue in that scene.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Well, I will argue that, and this is the conversation we were having last night, June, is that she is making choices. Like, she's she is saying, like...
I gotta say, Paul, I think you were distracted by her...
Her beauty?
Yes.
But don't you... But she's not... She's flat,
she's
doing, like,
really
some sneers, and she's definitely imposturing.
She's not flat.
She's not flat.
She's got, like a large B or a small C. Oh, wait. What are you talking about?
What
you
see them. What I think she's doing is, like, the parentheticals and dialogue. Like,
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Stern.
Pouting.
Yes.
Pouting.
Yeah, not meaning it.
Exactly. Here's my main question.
Terrified.
Here's my main question.
To herself.
Why do they want to kill her?
Well, because...
No idea. This is a no idea.
Why do they want to kill this?
That's not what's important. What's important is that she runs toward the camera with no bra.
No. Why are they trying to kill her? I could not
figure
it out.
She is a civil divorce lawyer.
Yeah.
So she represents low
and
income.
She's in a practice with Dan Hedaya?
No. He was just visiting her office.
Oh.
We rewound that to get that.
I couldn't. I thought he was her partner. And I was like, why is she going after her partner like this?
Yes. No. He was a competing lawyer.
They were rivals. But, you know, and he was sexist with her, but she showed him, right?
Oh, yeah. She got him good.
He was going to go to Podunk.
Well, now here's the thing. Basically, this is how I see it. So tell me if you guys see it differently. She was representing the woman who was married to a man who was a gangster. And this man had many assets, a ski house, something else, and this big boat, this big shipping vessel. And that shipping vessel was worth $200,000. Mm-hmm. And she was going to use use naval maritime law to get that shipping vessel back. But they couldn't use that because they're using that shipping vessel to tap into some telecommunications line under the water to type into Swiss bank accounts.
Yes. So that they could empty Swiss bank accounts. Yes.
Now, by the way, is based on a book that has a strong story.
But they're doing all of it. They're doing all of it. So why do they need to kill her? She's not getting in their way.
Yes, she is.
How?
Because she's getting that shipping vessel.
Not really, though.
But not
she's on the run. Like, and they're accomplishing all of their goals without her being dead.
Right, because she only reveals that shipping vessel, like, after the assassination.
She doesn't know why they're after her.
Has no idea. It seems like they went to a lot of trouble to kill this civil lawyer.
Well, but here's the other weird thing. It does seem, her character's confusing, because at first you think, she's representing, like, lower income families and people who have,
like, family court or whatever.
Yeah, but this case that is the plot of the movie seems to be between two very wealthy people.
I have no idea.
Very wealthy.
Battling it out over like ski chalets and stuff.
Well, you keep trying to pigeonhole her. You know, she can do many things.
Here's what I was really upset about.
When she walks into that law office, though, in the beginning, and her law office is literally full to the brim of just like, there should have been like chickens on the floor. Like, that's the kind of law office that she like lives in. It's like, you know, people are paying her in birds.
It was like Oliver. I thought like they were coming with a, it was that kind of.
And arguably, she's the only lawyer there.
I couldn't figure out, though, is right before, before you see her in her law office, which seems like she's almost like an Erin Brockovich style. Yeah. Like she's like that. She's like Albert Finney's law office, right?
Yes. Yes.
But when she's in the police station, she seems to be like a high powered corporate attorney.
Yes. Like people, fax me those files.
Fax me that. Like, send that to me immediately. And blah, 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 blah. She's like running the police phones and this, that, and the other. And I was like, she must be a badass. But she is a badass lawyer, but she's a badass lawyer on such a small, like, family court scale.
But wait, is that true?
Then what's the point?
You look at that office. Her waiting room is full of people who are not, doesn't have a lot of money.
She works for like Cuban families.
She is not only rich because she dresses incredibly well, but her apartment is gorgeous.
It's a
house.
And apparently when it blows up, you get without a scratch.
I laughed
That was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
At the shot in which her body is propelled out into space, speaking of gravity, out into space from the explosion of her apartment blowing up. I was like, ha, 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 ha. And she lands and is fine. And is still like, I don't know what this is about.
For those of you who are interested in watching that, we have a special clip that we made for you. It'll be online.
Is this?
This movie was made in 1995.
This movie has no business being made in the mid-90s. This is a mid-80s movie.
Especially the whole stuff about technology and Billy Baldwin's his hatred of computers.
Oh, computers are the enemy.
This is like my mother wrote this movie when I'm trying to get her to program her wireless printer. Like, it has that understanding of it.
Can I just throw some facts on you guys here? Things that you might like. First of all, this movie was supposed to be for Sylvester Stallone.
Awesome.
So he left the project.
I thought Billy Baldwin was great.
Totally fine.
Disagree.
totally fine. Here's what I loved about this movie. What I loved about this movie is that they were both, that it felt like Like it felt like a Sea of Love, or it felt like those kind of 80s two-handers.
Sunrise.
Yes, those 80s two-handers were like a charismatic couple, a guy and girl couple, will they, won't they, blah, blah, blah. This felt like that, like a warm-up for that, one of those movies. This was like the B-team or the C-team version of one of those movies. It was phenomenal in how perfectly executed it was in its failure to execute well.
Completely, and they were the only two people on Earth who would ever find what the other person said to be true. That meat cute or meat puke in the beginning was like, it was so,
let's play it. We can listen to it again. Here we go.
I'm Detective Kirkpatrick, Metro Dade Homicide. I need to ask you a few questions about this shooting.
I'd like to help you, but I can't even tell you if there was a shooting.
My report here indicates that there were several witnesses. All I know
is a window broke and I got cut by flying glass. I saw a car zoom away.
It's really amazing.
I saw a car zoom away.
I can't help you with that. Oh, I don't even know if there was a shooting.
Yeah, but they have these jokes. They swap these jokes back and forth. But like shitty jokes like, what do you
Zingers.
Call a lawyer at the bottom of the ocean? A good start. What do you call a cop in a three-piece suit? Defendant.
I like he says after a lawyer at the bottom of the ocean, a good start. It's like, oh, you've heard that one. It's like, everybody's heard that one. That was on the petroglyphs that was written.
Here's what people said no to the movie. Julianne Moore said no. Gina Davis said no. Brooke Shields said no. Drew Barrymore said no.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Finally, Cindy Crawford came in after all those. Salma Hayek.
Now, did they all say no to the Sylvester Stallone version or to the Baldwin version?
Unknown.
Now, did Alec Baldwin say no?
Danny Baldwin said no.
If Danny Baldwin says no, you're fucked.
This is a fact.
Maybe Frank Stallone's going to come along, but if Danny Baldwin says no.
Now, this is something that I don't know. There's nothing more to say about it than this. But this, all I know is that Cindy Crawford shot additional scenes on her own to help develop her character.
What? What is
that?
So
I don't know what that means.
Mean?
She went off with a camcorder and shot some Kate McQueen scenes solo.
Oh my God!
It must have been that scene where she slaps the woman who's abusing her child
to
show how much she cares about children.
That was incredible.
This movie again, the plot makes no sense, and the bad guy is the same bad guy from Beverly Hills Cop 1.
Because
he's got
right?
that like weird dimple in his
couldn't
head.
Couldn't take my eyes off it.
I love it.
Yeah. I love that it's
the between that and the lip mole, it was a very facial.
This is why I feel like this movie is 10 years too late. Like the Russian KGB are the bad guys.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this is like Cold War throwback.
This was a script that was written
I'm sure
10
you're right.
years earlier and just got made in
But this is also a movie where like computers are like can hack like we hacked into the computers.
Yep.
And all of a sudden computers means everything.
Oh yeah.
Like they
predate
Google Maps.
Yeah,
They're Google. They're okay. Here's her address. Zoom in, and all of a sudden they have like a still of the front of her house.
Oh yeah.
They also have heat sensors.
The heat sensors.
They can see anywhere unless you're in the shower.
Unless you take a cold shower.
And then apparently the cold shower makes you invisible to heat sensors for as long as you need or until you need to shoot someone.
But here's the crazy thing about that shower. Are we to believe that taking a cold shower for like a second, I mean, cold was on him for 2 seconds,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
they turned it off immediately. Yeah. So we're to believe that it lowered his temperature.
Yep. Yep. To the point where it became invisible. To thermal recognition.
So he was under 0 degrees hot?
That's how Benghazi happened.
Which Hillary Clinton knew about, man.
She knew that.
Why don't you answer us about Benghazi, Hillary?
She knew about the cold shower loophole. There was a memo.
They also, my favorite thing was, they have to fully explain in total the idea of car tracking, of LoJack. They're like, he has car track on his thing, so we can hack into that. What's car track? It's something the Americans have become very fond of. It's a tracking system for your car. In case you lose your car, they can follow. They have to outline the
thing. The LoJack on his car when it's revealed is the size of a giant bomb with like a little antenna. Yeah. Like, and he has to break off the tip of the antenna.
Okay, but speaking of showers, I found it very disturbing that Cindy Crawford didn't take a shower when she
could have. And is covered in blood?
Covered in blood and sewer water.
Why doesn't he offer her the shower?
I don't know. That was baffling. but also, this is a weird, I don't know if it was a character choice, actor's choice, I don't know, but Every time she walked into a hotel room, her immediate response upon walking in was to go toward the bed, sit on it, and then just lie down.
Yeah.
Stare up at the ceiling. She did that a number of times.
Yeah. That was her
Well, that's because she's ready for sex. That's how she's used to being in hotels.
Well, I always miss these cues.
She's like, oh. They're like, Cindy, why are you doing that? She's like, well, whenever I come to a hotel, I always just lay on the bed for sex.
Did anybody else notice that in her law firm there was a sign?
Yes.
That said, it's the law. And then it was also in her house.
Yeah,
I feel totally like, noticed that.
I feel like that also was a prop mistake. I feel like a prop guy was like,
really?
Oh, did we use that? Did we use that in the office? I don't think so.
We really want to hit home the fact that she's a lawyer.
And the law is everything.
The law is everything to her.
How about, can we just talk about her pizza account?
Oh. I've got a call Roma's on the west side. I've got an account with them. What?
Yeah.
Who has an account with a pizza place? Like, that doesn't exist. How much pizza do you eat?
I know. She would be giant. She would be giant. But I did think to myself, okay.
Pizza account.
People had accounts at like grocery stores, but I don't think anyone.
People had accounts at grocery stores. A bar tab
they would maybe have. Not a pizza.
They've got my card on file at Roma's Pizzeria. So you just order as many pizzas as you want and you have them deliver them to us. While you're at it, I got an account at the 7-Eleven.
By the way, the worst undercover cops, they're in a safe house. They're like, oh, let's use her credit card.
They use credit cards a bunch of times.
But just how long it takes them to figure out that they shouldn't use credit cards.
Oh, yeah.
When you're being tracked. Like, it was unbelievable.
Okay, this is my favorite part of the entire movie, okay? They are trying to make the trade-off in the parking garage that goes awry.
Yes.
Because with the FBI agent, right?
And then
Billy Baldwin, they get in the car and they get away finally. And Billy Baldwin is like, I don't know what happened. I did everything I was supposed to do. I checked their IDs. These guys are perfect.
That was one thing!
He did everything he was supposed to do, which was to check their IDs.
That was it.
And as such, these guys are perfect.
I didn't ask any other questions.
They are perfect!
He basically did the minimum required from a bouncer.
He looked at someone's ID.
There was that, and my other favorite line of his was when he's alone, they go to the next hotel, safe in the room, and this is when she does go in and take a shower or whatever.
Finally.
And he's in the bedroom, and he's pacing around. He talks to his dumb cousin on the phone, and it realizes it's the KGB, and he puts the phone down, and then to himself, he goes, oh, KGB. Wait, hold on. I lost it.
This one I got right here, too.
Hold on. He goes, KGB, computers. They found the safe house. Phone lines.
Did he say pizza, too? I have it.
He might say
computers.
Pizza.
Yes, KGB.
He does say pizza. I remember that.
He says pizza. He definitely says pizza.
That's literally a joke.
That's a line of dialogue.
That is literally a joke that we did in NTSF as an intentionally bad move. And I was like, this isn't a real movie.
It was amazing.
A series of nouns.
KGB. Computers.
And the KGB is good enough to label its bullets "Kill America."
Yeah. So stupid.
Okay, cool. This is probably doesn't even worth talking about, but
please.
This is, you know, back in the era where every police office was also smoky. Their police office was so smoky, and there's something here, and if someone gets a screen grab, I really want to, I know it's there. There was a African-American man not wearing a shirt, just wearing a vest, and he had a badge on the front. And he was answering the phone in the background. He walked by. So I was like, yeah, that's a Miami cop, shirtless with a vest and a badge out, just answering it in the background.
I love that.
That was, to me, my favorite touch of the whole movie.
There's a lot of insanity going on at the police headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was
There's a gunfight.
There's a gunfight in the first scene there.
Yeah.
But also, why is there a convict, like, in an orange jumpsuit?
Yeah, a prison. Yeah.
Like, where did he come from?
But he was a skip tracer because it was like, that was the whole thing.
It was a bail bounty hunter.
Yeah, so why was he already in his prison clothes?
Okay,
but then later on at the headquarters, there's also another convict who's wearing prison clothes in headquarters.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're ruining this movie for me.
How about this? Why is police headquarters allowing Billy Baldwin's ex-girlfriend to come and just cause chaos.
Oh.
Screaming, fighting. She, like, backs a truck
she's
up and, like, dumps.
Idiot.
Oh, my God.
Would you
she's
like to
like
hear
a feisty Latina.
Yeah. Would you like to hear the
she's
Salma
a real hot-tempered,
yeah.
feisty Latina.
Spicy, even.
She's so feisty.
Which I don't associate with those people.
I know. It's very... It was a really different take on her character.
Well, guys,
while
wanna...
the gunfight is happening, by the way, she's crawling around on the ground screaming, "Que paso! Que paso!"
And one of her straps comes undone, and her tit almost falls out for the rest of the scene, which I was like, I'm into this.
I know,
guys, just so you know, Salma Hayek only took this part after she rewrote it.
No.
So Salma Hayek is responsible for all of her dialogue,
no.
which you can hear right now.
It's subtle.
This is your mail because it's got your name on it, okay? My mail is sometimes addressed to occupant because Max, I am the fucking occupant of my place. You, on the other hand, are no longer an occupant. Is this sinking in? Get your shit out of my place!
Now that also, I have a problem with that because she's talking about mail being delivered, but then she's saying shit and mail being addressed to occupants. Like that also is
that confused me. That confused me as well as
yeah, why isn't she getting mail addressed to her own self?
Yeah, is she mad about
penny
like
savers.
Nobody's writing her? And then she like pulls up later with a truck full of his stuff, which appears to be like a deck chair, and like his stuff is like so bizarre.
And, like, a runner, just like
it's like a yard sale gone bad in the back of that truck.
A lot of teak.
Ah, November. What a wonderful month. The air is so crisp. It's the perfect time to sit around the fire and read a good book. But who has time? Not me. I'm too busy on the internet. Playing Angry Birds, playing Simpsons Tapped Out. I can't read a book. I need the books to come to me, and that's where Audible comes in. You can listen to books now. That's right. You don't have to read it. You can put it on your ears, and Audible works with everything. I mean, iPods, iMacs, Kindles, MP3, eBooks, they are all over the place, and they have over 150,000 books to choose from, and you can listen on any device. If you register today, you'll get a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. All you have to do is log into audiblepodcast.com/how, it's H-O-W, to get it. Now, here's the deal. Go home for Thanksgiving and pretend like you're smart. Be like, oh, yeah, I read that book about the election. Oh, yeah, I read Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash. Oh, yeah, I read the J.J. Abrams book S. I don't know if that one's available because that's like actually a very complicated book. I don't know how else to convince you. Maybe to say that if you download Audible, you can listen to your favorite comedians narrating their greatest books. All right, why not download Zombie Spaceship Wasteland by Patton Oswalt, then hear him read it the way it was meant to be read. So go to audiblepodcast.com for a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial. Remember, that's audiblepodcast.com/how for a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial. Thank you, Audible.
You know who I think is funny? Sarah Silverman. She makes me laugh every time I see her. And now, if you've never seen her, you're gonna get a chance because the lovely, the sharp-witted Sarah Silverman made her first ever HBO solo stand-up hour, and we get to watch it. Don't miss the premiere of Sarah Silverman, We Are Miracles, November 23rd at 10 p.m. only on HBO. It's not television, it's HBO. They didn't make me say that. I just wanted to say that because it seems like you have to say it when it happens. Here's the thing. It was taped in front of an audience of only 39 people. So cool. It's a very intimate thing. You're never going to really see this. It's not like a big crowd. Sarah is just one of my favorite performers. Everything she says, just her point of view, I don't even know how to encapsulate it. You just have to watch it. November 23rd. 10 p.m. only on HBO, and you know Sarah from everything she's been in. I mean, she's been on Star Trek, Seinfeld, Louie, The Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, Wreck-It Ralph, The Muppets, Take This Waltz, School of Rock. You know her. You love her, so don't be a fool. Don't miss the premiere. Sarah Silverman, We Are Miracles, November 23rd, 10 p.m., HBO. Watch it, or be left out like a bitch.
Oh, this movie,
God.
There is like one of the things that happens. The movie is like at a certain point, it's just a chase sequence. It's like
the whole movie is.
What's the Steve McQueen? There's a great Steve McQueen movie that I'm trying to think
the
of,
Getaway?
Which is similar. Not The Getaway, where he's trying to protect a witness, and it's the same basic idea. Anyway, It's that. It's just like he's trying to protect her, and they're always finding them, always tracking them, always blah, blah, blah. But like all of the scenes where the Russians are in like a computer equipped van,
oh my God.
The nerdy Russian guy with sideburns is like, oh, they're so stupid. Like, they're using a credit card again. These people are so stupid. Oh, they're so stupid. They're using a telephone. Oh, we can check it out. And they always, their computers are always like rigged bizarrely, like with like the keys are all over the place, and there's a
tracking ball in the middle.
Like, it makes it's almost to say this is crazy how high tech this is.
The amount of wireless, like, what they're doing in this movie is not even capable now. Really, like, they're constantly moving, and then sometimes they're back on that boat because they fly back to the
boat.
And
they're in a helicopter.
Where did the helicopter come from?
I don't know where the helicopter came from.
Did anyone else notice that when his Billy Baldwin's cousin, Jody, I think, who works
Jody
in
Baldwin?
Who works in forensics.
The female Baldwin.
Yeah.
She's on a call with him where she's on a landline with a phone that has a cord.
Amazing.
And she walks around the entire office in a giant circle on that cord.
It wasn't a cordless phone.
No, if you watch the scene, when you watch it,
now I have to rewatch this.
This scene will make you laugh. When June called that out, because it goes on for so long, and she's walking such a large circumference around this office with a corded phone. It's so funny.
The scene, my other favorite scene, which started so bizarrely, because I first made a note because they pulled up to a place, she gets out, and she starts like crimping her hair and like getting all tarted up. And I was like, why is she trying to look sexy? And then she walks into the computer store where she seduces the nerdy computer kid in order to get information. But what I then realized was that was her plan. She got out of the car and she sexed herself up knowing there was going to be a sweaty nerd who would find her so attractive.
But she's never played that game in the movie. She's never played the attractive game until this scene with this super nerd. This is play this because these clips are great.
It's pretty good.
So what are you doing over there?
Nothing. Just fiddling with my joystick.
Fiddling with your joystick?
We just dropped something.
Are you interested in hardware or is it more software?
I don't know where this is going.
I was hoping to demo your unit.
I'd have to boot up first.
Why don't you?
Sexiest scene of all time.
I was hoping to lick your penis if you catch my meaning.
Also, can I just, and this is maybe,
I will fuck you for a networked connected computer.
I will say, this is, I've always,
if you catch my drift.
I always have this image in my head, like Norm Macdonald when he was on Howard Stern always talked about how like Elle Macpherson was so lame, like she's so hot, and like what she thought was funny, she'd always say like, ooh, like talk to the hand. That was the thing that she really loved to say. Like she thought it was so funny. He like pretty much dumped Elle Macpherson because she was just like annoying and crazy. Like I feel like that's how Cindy Crawford acts when she wants to be sexy. I feel like that, like she, like I feel like, and then
you
it's
think
like,
she's
oh.
doing an Elle Macpherson impression.
I think she, like, I think that she's like, I think she's never, not even, I feel like, well, oh, sorry, Cindy Crawford. I feel like that's how Cindy Crawford is being sexy. Like she's like, this is, I'm being sexy.
I do agree, like, because it was confusing. Like if there's any scene that should work, it really should be that one, because we're seeing her
because
in
that's
her
the reason she's
that's
here.
The reason for the
is
season.
Nerdy guys want to have sex with her.
But that's actually one of the more uncomfortable scenes in the movie.
Yes,
like watching her actually play her sexuality.
That's
it's like,
what I'm
oh,
saying.
no, please don't.
She was surprisingly bad at it.
Yeah, that's what I mean?
Saying.
It doesn't just feel like it fits.
You'd think that would be the one thing she
That would be her in her wheelhouse.
Well, the sex scene also not sexy at all.
I thought it was.
Oh, see, I just wrote down, is this a sex scene or an STD transference scene?
I thought that sex scene was crazy.
Lisa Marie and Michael Jackson had more chemistry.
I agree.
I thought you liked it too. Don't say that you didn't.
You know what? I was surprised that like it brought me back to like the age of like Sliver and stuff like that, where
it was
like
it was
they're
sexy.
Really like just kissing body parts. Like you don't see that in modern day movies, and I thought that was like.
But see, they were better. Yeah,
I don't
just
know.
You
it was
see
not...
his ass like just fucking her. Like it's I guess like it's a little gross, and then when you see her nipples, it's like it's not sexy. They're just like tits.
It didn't.
Yeah. It didn't work for me. It didn't work for me because it was like, I was like, oh, again, like those like Sea of Love.
That was
it,
hot.
That fucking movie is hot.
Ellen Barkin's hot.
And Ellen Barkin is hot, and Dennis Quaid is hot, and when they fuck, it's crazy.
Of course.
Like Body Heat. Like those like movies. This was like, neither of them had much sexual energy. And like when they fuck, it was like, like, I felt like it was just like...
I thought it was her best performance was in that sex scene. I did.
Really?
Like, yes.
But leading up to it, I have a question, because this is the most confusing part of that.
Did you think she was falling for him?
No, that's
throughout the
thing.
Movie?
Yeah.
No, and she punches him so hard, and then, like, yeah.
But leading up to that, he saves her life with the car, swinging the car around. Arguably a pretty good action scene.
Yes, he saves her life in the water.
In the water. Yes. And then... apropos of nothing. So the movie is going on the exact same time.
Yeah.
And then she's like, get away from me. I don't want... Yeah. And she runs away.
What?
Motivated by nothing.
What was the motivation?
Why does
there?
She split from him and jump on that train?
I don't understand.
And why does he have to chase her down and jump from a moving car into a train?
And that was, by the way, like the weirdest scene.
Yeah. It was awful.
I think that...
I was going to ask you. I wrote down, ask Jean, why was her motivation to run?
I actually think that she was playing down what her feelings for him. And I think what she was starting to realize is that she was dangerous and that he was going to be collateral damage and trying to protect her. And so it was actually...
So she was giving up her life to save
herself.
Him.
Yeah. I think she was like, I can't bring him into
this. She was like Marley from Marley and Me going off to die by herself.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that probably this scene is why a lot of those actresses passed on the role, because it seems just like a hysterical woman who is just... point, like, has no logic.
It's like a guy trying to get rid of a dog. Like, get out of here, you dumb dog. You know, I don't want
goodbye,
love
yeah, yeah.
Like Steve Martin with a shithead.
Yeah.
Well, there was something I think they were trying to do with their characters. They said it in voiceover a few times where, like, she would say, see, sometimes it's about finesse. It's not always about brawn. And then he would say later on, getting into the hotel. Yeah, and then, like, later on, he was like, sometimes you need muscle. Like, that was, like, their
wait
whole...
Wait a second, though. But I want to just mention that brawn finesse thing. There is also a computer program that can shut down and lock every hotel door
shunk. It's like really scary.
Yeah.
Like what? Like you're not in a prison. Hotels aren't like prison.
They don't work that way.
They can work from the Abbey.
So they set that condition. So you go to, you're like, okay, look. We're going to bend reality here, but it's all going to be worth it because we're going to set this obstacle obviously they're going to have to figure out. And he just shoots the lock off.
Yeah, just shoots it off and they're out. They're free to go. I want to talk about, weird things that happen to justify when she's first in the safe house with the cops that are the idiots.
Yes.
The
pizza cops are such idiots that one of them, the taller one, at one point is looking in the mirror and just singing like do da do do do, like just singing to himself.
Yep.
Pissing and singing and pissing for a very long time.
I love that they did that thing where like they put on a war movie.
Well, that's something that they're gonna talk about. Like
go ahead.
She's had an insane day. Her house is blown up. She's almost been
killed.
She's flew through the air. She's been shot out twice in one day. And she's like, I just need to put on a war movie and relax and go to sleep to this violent war
movie. So, of course, because the war movie's on, you don't hear the actual gunshots that are happening in the hotel.
It doesn't make it. It's like that scene in Airplane when they're watching the movie of a plane crashing.
Yeah.
and then, this is the other thing. Then they're breaking into that shitty hotel, and one person has a gun that's like a mini cannon that is blowing holes, literal holes, through a wall, and then the woman has a silencer on her gun. Which I don't understand. Yeah. Like, what was the plan? Yeah. Like, to go in quiet? We're super fucking loud.
I feel like they both, like, suited up, then, like, exited both of their rooms, and met, and they were like, great.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, well, I'm not going to take my silencer off. Well, I'm not putting one on. Well, fine. You know, like, I feel like...
We're not going to have this conversation here.
She screws the... Like, after a few people have been killed, she screws that silencer back in. Like, it's like, why now? The whole thing has been blown. We know.
God. There is a scene in this movie where they are on the boat. The Russians are on the boat. Mm-hmm. And the main Russian bad guy he walks around his crew giving like a whole monologue. Okay. Yes. Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's near the end. And at one point, he's fucking, and it's all like guys on computers, like, we're connecting, whatever. They're trying to hack into their Cayman Islands thing or whatever. Transfer $500 million or whatever. Anyway, he's giving this fucking, the bad guy speech. And at one point, there is just in the foreground of the scene, a pair of bongos. There is on this terrorist vessel in the foreground as just set dressing is bongos. And I was like, when do those get played? Like, when do the Russians be like, we got the money, break out the bongos, let's do this. It is absolute insanity. I just hope they got there at some point. And either the director was like, no, we need more stuff in here, like bongos.
Well, could someone fly in some bongos?
Will they make it? They make some sort of reference to the fact that he's Cuban, like there's a Cuban element to it. Because there is a, but why would they have bongos? But there is a thing at one point where they go like, Billy Baldwin's like, think about it. Who would want you dead? And she's like, I don't know. I just represent some Cuban people. He goes, Cuban sounds Russian to me.
What?
Why does that, like, are you living in JFK?
Because like, they're all commies.
Bay of Biggs? Like, it's, what?
It's so good.
Oh my Cuban God, sounds I have Russian got to rewatch it.
You've got to watch
bongos.
To find the bongos.
I
literally froze the movie in order to
tonight.
Be to make that note because I was like, this is diabolic.
Well, June and I laughed forever on that one scene in the beginning with the. Do you want to do that dialogue?
What did he say? I can't remember the line.
He's like, it was when the Russian guy and the Cuban guy face off.
I remember.
And they go, yeah, let's do it.
Like, they face off, and the guy's like, I think this, I think that, the Russian guy. And then the Cuban guy goes, I'm not going to. His delivery is what really makes it so amazing. But he goes, fuck what you think.
Boy, I like this so much.
So hard.
Every car is made out of gasoline in this movie.
Oh my God. Because they explode.
Explode like Pintos in the 80s.
Yeah.
You touch a car, it explodes.
And it's a fireball, like a massive fireball.
And I've seen enough Mythbusters to know that this does not happen.
And even for like a Joel.
Mythbusters needs to track this movie.
This would be the greatest Mythbusters out.
This is we need a Mythbusters How Did This Get Made crossover.
I would love it.
Where we talk, they're our guests, but then we go and we test out.
I would love it.
The things from movies.
Here's what's weird too. When they finally get her,
call us Adam and Jamie.
When they finally get her. They don't kill her.
No.
That is the most confusing thing.
They want to interrogate her.
No, they want to know if she's told anybody their plan, which she clearly has no idea about.
Yeah.
All they've been doing is trying to kill her the whole movie. Now that they've got her, they're like, no killing yet.
Yeah. But she doesn't know why.
She has no idea.
No one knows what the plan is. I don't even understand the plan, and I'm privy to it.
So the boat that she got from Dan Hedaya.
Well, she didn't get it, though.
She did.
Well, she was threatening.
He has like 24 hours to turn it
over
to her.
But it hasn't been turned over.
No.
But by the way, they were getting millions. Why couldn't they just go, here, we'll give you $200,000. Don't worry about it. Like
exactly.
Well, that's the whole.
It's the whole movie would be over. Just write him a check. We're about to get like... $100 million. I wasn't even sure how much money they were getting. And why does the KGB want money? Like, are they KGB?
Or they're ex-KGB.
Are they ex-KGB?
They're like, they're like Navy SEALs for the KGB.
And why were they,
what are they doing on the boat?
Tapping into the phone line at the
We have a phone line underwater.
And we have satellites that can get a like you can zoom in and get a still of her apartment, but you need to tap into a phone line.
And what are they doing with the phone?
Tapping
lines?
Into the Swiss bank.
Oh, that's how they're hacking. Yeah, the Cayman Islands bank accounts or whatever.
Because you can't hack into a regular phone. Yeah,
they can hack everything from the back of a car, yeah. except for these bank accounts.
Yeah,
and LoJack also was a problem.
To Cayman Island bank accounts. They have access to. A ton of money.
$500 million.
Yeah.
And they were just picking the denomination they could get it in, too. That was about, like...
Wow, what a crazy way to set up the story. Truly. I mean, there are easier ways to make her a target.
Well, question to you guys. What do you think the title Fair Game is referring to? Because I thought about it. I was like, what does that mean, really? In context of this movie, is she fair game? Like, is she fair game to be killed? Like, it doesn't make any sense,
Ooh,
fair game.
This is real interesting.
It's like a Zen
June. Any ideas?
You've been really good with this.
I mean, I was going to say, like, yeah, I think it is that she's fair game.
Collateral damage would be a more appropriate title.
Sure, sure.
She is collateral damage. But
stiff lawyer would be a good title.
Fair game. It's not a legal term, is it?
No.
Is it about the fact that as a cop, Billy Baldwin sort of goes off the grid and doesn't trust the... Like, he's no longer...
By the way, Billy Baldwin, not even a good Parker, because when he goes to go check out her house, just pulls onto a grassy lawn. Did you see that?
Oh, like, I didn't notice.
He just literally, yes. If you watch it, just pulls onto grass.
I don't know.
Fair game.
Fair game.
Hey friends, while you're enjoying this podcast, why not mark down some dates in your calendar? On November 29th, the day after Thanksgiving, from 12 to 12, Jimmy Pardo will be hosting the event of all events. I'm talking about the Pardcast-a-thon. This is an amazing thing. Basically, it's a 12-hour marathon of Jimmy Pardo's award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny, to raise money for the charity Smile Train. Now, Smile Train provides free cleft surgery to hundreds of thousands of poor children in developing countries and trains doctors and medical professionals in over 87 countries. Last year, they raised over $100,000 on the night of the event. And guests this year include Zach Galifianakis, Patton Oswalt, Scott Aukerman, Doug Benson, and even radio legend Phil Hendry. The show is streamed live online at Pardcast.com and at Laughster.com from the Acme Theater in Los Angeles. For more information, head to SmileTrain.org. It's one of my favorite events of the year. Go check it out. SmileTrain.org. You never know who's going to show up.
Why is this movie called Fair Game?
I will tell you, it was based on a novel written by Paula Gosling, which also was she also wrote the novel that Cobra, the Sylvester Stallone movie, was based on.
Wait, was the novel called Fair Game?
I imagine it was.
So she's the person that...
This movie is pretty... It was directed by Andrew Snipes, who was known for nothing else besides writing an episode of Simon and Simon. It was written by Charlie Fletcher, who was known for nothing else. And it was based on a novel by Paula Gosling, who had written Cobra.
So you're telling me that this guy, predicated on one episode of Simon and Simon...
Writing!
Wrote... It was able to get a movie greenlit?
I guess back
That's
in 1995.
Ludicrous.
I want to kill myself. I'm on Modern Family.
You should be able to.
I have Emmys.
Where's your movie?
I honestly should be doing Godfather 4 right now.
Yeah,
bullshit.
He never directed anything. He wrote an episode of Simon and Simon, an episode of The Equalizer, and Spencer for Hire,
and ruined it for anybody else after him. I'm sure.
Wow, that is unreal.
Isn't that kind of crazy? I mean, the movie is not poorly directed. I would say the acting is the acting, but the action scenes look pretty good-ish. I don't know. I mean,
I thought the car stuff was good.
A lot of screeching, a lot of cars yes. making 180s. This whole movie is this those tires.
There was also a lot of shots of those three SUVs. Sort of first they're in line together, and then they swerve behind. Like
they go on in different directions.
They kind of like almost like in an Audi ad,
like serpentine car movements. Yeah.
There was one little thing too.
Well, I like that he drove a Jeep Grand Wagoneer. By the way,
I love that.
He drove that Jeep Grand Wagoneer, and at one point it was established because Selma Hayek dumps all of his shit out in front of the police station, that he's put that stuff in the car. So he says to Cindy Crawford, really oddly, he goes like, "Oh, hey, if you want to change your shirt, now's your time to do it." What?
And that's why he has photo albums in there too. Is that?
That's why he has a photo album. Okay. But she changes into a woman's shirt.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is she doesn't have her stuff in his car.
All right. She had like a little tiny baby doll shirt or whatever.
But that scene is only in there to see side boob. Like it really is
to
see
her tits.
Yeah. Like, do you want to? Hey, you can change your shirt if you want.
What's weird about her costumes though, like the first scene where she's running on the beach.
Yeah.
Like we're all here for Cindy Crawford. Right. She's wearing the most ill-fitting shorts. Did anyone else know that?
I didn't notice.
I didn't know that.
Oh, she's wearing. I was looking up top. All right. She's wearing a sports bra and like baggy, strange cloth.
I like you clarified at her boobs.
Yeah. Just in case anybody thought like up top meant like her hair or something. I love that like she gets shot. She gets shot in that, but they hit her Walkman. That's on her arm. And it explodes into sparks. It explodes in a way that I was like, a Walkman would never explode.
It's made out of that car material.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, to me, this is what I thought too, was that she was trying, like when she goes in, she goes, I don't know if I was shot at. I thought she was
Covering?
Like, covering.
That's what,
like,
I thought.
She's like, I
for
know.
For the first half of the movie, I was like, she knows exactly what's going on. Yeah. She's just keeping a secret.
Yeah.
And in fact, that is not the case.
No, she's
she has no secret.
No, no
there's
idea.
There's no subtext them. To her. She is just text.
Man, this movie, I will watch this movie over and over again. Another thing in the lab, they're just smoking in the lab. Again,
yeah.
Smoking in a lab.
Yeah, and this is 1995 also. This is when you were, you could,
yeah.
Or this is the golden era of not being able, this yep. is when it all started.
This
you couldn't
is it.
Smoke anywhere.
Yeah. But they were in that lab. This is like, I mean, this is a Joel Silver produced movie, and it has all those staples of that, like, you know, wet pavement, glistening sunrises, all that sort of stuff.
And they're like, when they're on the train and they go in and start making out, is that like electric guitar kind of like
Joe
Top Gun, Top Gun kind of like guitar pyrotechnics.
When the bad Russian woman was killed, was she knifed in the vagina?
No.
Ooh, I don't
know. I thought so at first, but then when she falls back into the water, it's kind of more in her stomach.
That is, I don't know who that woman is. That's one of the most unappealing actresses I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
She...
But effective I'm like in that way.
I know. I'm in a sexless marriage, and that did nothing for me. I'm just kidding, honey.
You may be talking about Oleg Krupa, who played Zhukov, and let's see what... Oh, no, that's a guy. I'm looking through the Russian names to see on IMDb.
And it was a festival of bad Russian accents.
Oh, my God. This
all over the place.
All over the place.
These I was bummed, because I wanted to watch more Dan Hedaya.
Dan Hedaya's part was cut.
Oh,
severely cut Dan Hedaya's part, which I think would have connected the plot.
I would have understood the boat more.
Yeah, all of this.
Ugh.
There's
that was
so
the
much.
Thing that I, at a certain point, I was like, oh, I guess I'm never going to figure out what the actual story is. This is just a chase movie, and that's all I need to know.
Do you think the boat was so, like, they sunk that boat, right? That was
that was pretty cool, I thought. That was like, they really
was,
sunk a real
but
boat.
Yeah, they did, but do you think that's why, like, because all throughout, that's like the shittiest boat in the world. Like, they just cheaped out. We're gonna wreck this boat. So they got, like, some rusty
so
boat.
Dumpy. Like, it's like, we bought it for $5,000. We can do whatever we want to it.
We can fuck this boat if we want.
It was pretty crazy at the end that guy, sorry, what's his name? Who was in the main bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
Hitler
yeah, Stephen Burkoff.
That he just, like, committed suicide, really, on the boat.
Well, no, he was trying to transfer that money.
He was trying to transfer the money, but
that guy has been
he knew
everything.
That boat was going down.
Well, I mean, he just wanted to get that money. See, money, you know.
He had to get them sweet, sweet dollars.
Is there any? There's
somebody... Oh, are we to assume probably? Because the one thing, they're so irresponsible, they keep getting people killed. Like,
yes,
I feel like his partners get killed, his best friend gets killed. I feel like they're tracking them in such a way that Cousin Jody gets killed. I'm sure the computer nerds get killed.
Yeah.
Like, they.
Oh, yeah.
They
when
get
they go and beat
everybody
up those
killed.
Yeah, those Russian guys go into that computer store and beat the fuck out of those guys. They clearly have nothing.
It was a huge, a gratuitous body count.
Yeah, and also no reverence. Like, when that his best friend, when he gets killed, his toupee gets ripped off.
Oh, that toupee falling off is so bizarre.
I couldn't figure that out.
I thought, was he in disguise?
That's what I thought. I was like, when did he have a toupee? Since when does he have a toupee?
What did that mean?
Oh, also, I love Christopher McDonald, who I love him and everything with that mustache in this movie
so
as
good.
The head of chief of police.
Oh,
he was pretty amazing. He also did a great thing, too. He's in his office, and he has to leave his office to get on a phone and talk. Like, it was like, he's like, all right, get him on the phone.
This movie is also all about payphones.
Yeah.
Yes.
All about payphones. This is like, but meanwhile, this is 1995.
Yeah.
I had a cell phone.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's, I feel like the script was done at a certain point. They're like, if we had cell phones, it's going to get really.
Yeah. They do have that cell phone, which they put on the pig truck.
Oh, the pig truck.
Oh, God.
When the guy gets on that truck, he's like, the Russian guys are pushing, like, hey, don't, like, the truck driver's like, hey, don't push. And then the Russian guy's like, oh, hello, pigs.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're like, where are they? And he's like, where's who? And they're like, the cop and the girl, they're in a trailer full of pigs. Like, no, they're not there,
I'm
FYI.
I'm looking at what you're looking at, sir.
They have access. The Russians have access to everything. Like the forensics lab, they get in there. They get into every place. They impersonate the
FBI.
And
by the way, they're able to print up those ID forms. Like, they didn't have the idea, like, oh, well, we'll pretend to be these FBI guys. Like, they hear it on the wire. Like, we have 10 minutes to get there. Let's print out some IDs. Let's change costumes. Let's get in there. Let's, like, there is no, they had a giant team.
Yeah.
They should have been able to kill her easily.
I did everything. I checked their IDs.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we normally do a part of this show where we read second opinions, people who had 5-star reviews.
I do love that part of the show.
This is one where we're pretty much at the bottom of a barrel. There is not many 5-star reviews.
Really?
I honestly want to say I'm not part of your show, but this is honestly, and not being hyperbolic, the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's I don't know. I didn't see. From Justin to Kelly.
Ooh. No, this is better.
But this is the worst movie. Really bad on every. There's not people who are good are bad in it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It is.
I think it's enjoyably terrible.
Oh yeah. No. I mean, it was.
I could watch this 5 more times. I laughed my balls off.
Here's the thing that it does very well, which a lot of the movies we do, they fail on a level that makes them difficult to watch. This movie is constantly in motion.
Yeah.
And is actually, as such, delivers on what its intention is. It just is wildly confusing and bad, but it's always moving and as such feels like an actual movie.
Yes.
It actually is well constructed in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's the Joel Silver thing. I think Joel Silver's like, fuck it, we can make this thing fly and these dummies won't even pay attention
to
it.
But it feels like the action movie on a television set in another movie. Like, it's the kids are watching some stupid action movie in the background.
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing.
Well, the acting...
That's how this movie began. This movie began as clips,
another movie
clips that were going to be shown in another movie.
Yeah, it was stock footage.
Those clips were so good, they were like, why don't we just beef this up and make it its own movie?
There was a scene in Ordinary People where this was on in Judd Hirsch's office.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
This is what, apparently there was a lot of negative test screenings to this movie. They cut and reshot the scenes. They beefed up William Baldwin and Cindy Crawford's relationship, which now my question is,
How was there less of that?
That was
beef? I bet what they went and did was added that voiceover about...
What voiceover?
There's voiceover where they're trying to open the door at the hotel room and a few other places where she's like
ADR? Oh, you mean like ADR?
Oh.
Sorry. ADR.
Because I was like, wait, is there weird voiceover?
Okay, not voiceover, ADR. Where they've just added these lines, clearly. They're on people's backs and... I bet that's what it was.
Yeah.
This idea that, like, she's the brains and he's the brawn of the business.
Well, let me read you some of these 5-star reviews, knowing that this is not in the normal vein of our 5-star reviews, because it's hard to find 5-star. There is. Your faith in humanity is restored. Let's hear one of our new theme songs.
From the depths of Amazon they come, second opinions for everyone.
Okay, here we go. This is from William D. Reviewer. Fake name, obviously. This DVD gets 5 stars for Cindy Crawford changing shirts. Freeze frame, please. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise, it's a 3-star film.
Wow.
And then this one is from Tara Sumakis. I've been known to like what other people consider to be bad movies. And this movie is not exactly Casablanca, but I gotta say, it's pretty good.
Oh.
I think the scene where Billy Baldwin calls the store is hysterical, and I would tell other people to watch it.
I did think that scene worked.
That scene was amazing, actually.
Thought it was funny.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
Because he knows the line is being listened to.
So he calls 7-Eleven.
He just dials numbers until
he gets
to the
ring. That was not a terrible scene. Had it been written with actual jokes and acted, that could have been a potential.
I thought the guy who worked at the 7-Eleven
was terrific.
Delivered it perfectly.
I actually was like, oh, I wonder if that
was Vidania, asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who? I don't even know a Vidanya. Like, it was like that level of joke. And then...
that character is black.
I don't have uno Vidanya.
And then this is... okay. And then... okay. This is 5 stars. The title of this review is called Fair Enough by Timoti. William Baldwin, why? Cindy Crawford, yes. Tough cop has to protect a lawyer after she discovered a ship full of computer hackers. Got it? Good.
Well, Five stars. He gets it more than we do. Yeah. But is that what it was?
She doesn't discover that.
She doesn't, right?
No. Okay. No.
That would have been a better movie if she had put it together herself.
Movie cost $50 million.
What?
Do you want to know how much it grossed?
12.
4.
17.
$11.5 million. Yes. By the way, that is $50 million.
But my Price is Right rules, I would have won.
You went over.
I went over, so I would have lost.
I think I would have won with 4.
Somebody should have gone in with $1.
Guys, this is a pleasure to talk to all of you about, and I highly recommend it. You guys recommend?
Absolutely.
Totally.
100%.
Yeah. So good.
And apparently, I'm just going to say this, the married couple on this podcast thought the sex scene was really good.
Great.
It's very sensual.
Oh, boy.
Not as sensual as the Kim Basinger, Alec Baldwin scene in The Getaway.
Oh, that's a great scene.
That is like, I remember having the unrated director's cut in my house, and it's almost you see penetration. Yeah. I feel like they were
That scene's hot.
Yeah. That scene's
9
hot.
And a half weeks
is hot. You know what I think I appreciated, too? The fact that, like, I feel like whenever you see sex scenes now, the women are in, like, tiny thongs.
Yeah.
And she was in like granny panties.
This is the part. Yeah. Oh, I'm
just
so...
like regular underwear. Yeah. And it was white. And I just thought it was like, thank you.
One of the things I wanted to bring up, and this is the best, has her bent over a car. They look at him through, you can see through the thermal thing that he's fucking her on the car. And when they first come in, that Russian woman comes in, he's butt ass naked inside of her on the car. So when she shoots, he turns around. Arguably, he has a full on throbbing boner.
Yeah,
he takes down 2 guys with a boner.
Well, doesn't she reach over?
She grabs the gun first.
She grabs the gun, and it is like just as they're about to climax.
Yeah.
Like she shoots
symbolism.
A gun.
Pretty sweet. Symbolism.
Oh. They both definitely come.
Mind equal blown. That's fantastic.
Danny, what do you want to plug? You have a hilarious Twitter.
Just plug that. Follow me at Twitter. My name, Danny Zucker. And watch Modern Family all the time.
It's so good.
It's
really,
June, what would you like to plug?
Ask Backwards is on VOD. You can still watch it and enjoy it.
It's probably still in theaters.
It might still be in theaters in New York and L.A. You could see it there. And
it's a movie, I will say this, very... It's as sexy in its sensuality as this movie was at times.
You probably have more, equal amount of ass shots in your movie and this movie.
More.
Yeah, you guys show your asses more than William Baldwin in this one. Spoilers for Ass Backwards. You know, people who are into like girls peeing might be into those
scenes. Super into it. And that's the audience we're looking for.
I think it should be. If you're into girls peeing and you want to see it happening,
finally.
Ass Backwards.
Finally.
You guys should put out a trailer like that. And it's just like, hey, into really weird deviant sex practices?
It's a
come
niche.
See Ass Backwards.
A niche.
Oh my God! We should hit up those message boards.
Yeah, get in on that. Tell the world.
Not a bad idea.
You can follow the show at HDTGM on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, Jason.
Yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not on Twitter, guys.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Lace up your hiking boots and pick a bunk because your stay at Camp Crystal Lake is just beginning.
Ain't that the truth? On In Voorhees We Trust with Gourley and Rust, you'll learn why we love the Friday the 13th franchise so much and hear us tackle all 12 films of the Voorhees family legacy.
In Voorhees We Trust was previously available only on Stitcher Premium, but now Earwolf is releasing it for free.
Tune in for the first episode on March the 22nd. Then if you want to skip ahead before the other episodes roll out on a free and weekly basis, you can still binge the whole series on Stitcher Premium.
Yeah, that's right, Matt. And in fact, to get a free month, just go to StitcherPremium.com/Voorhees, V-O-O-R-H-E-E-S, and use the promo code Voorhees.
Join us March 22nd on our journey to Crystal Lake, Manhattan, hell, and outer space beyond!
And I can't wait to see you again in the future, Paul.
I can't wait to see you again in the future.
Hint, hint, hint.